And welcome to the program on this Monday. It is 106 right now, and this is Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm meteorologist Justin Storm with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki and Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Good afternoon, guys. We made it another weekend. How was your weekend?
Peachy. It was good weather.
Indeed. Wasn't it an absolute gorgeous weekend, with an exception for like 6 hours of wind on Saturday. But yeah, it was great. Did you take advantage of it? Did you do anything outside?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of garden and yard work and tailgating.
Ah, yes, indeed. How was that game, by the way?
I guess I saw Towson coming in and thought that we would be a lot closer, played a little bit tighter. I like to see the challenge. And I'm not going to say that the Bison have everything together yet. There's still room for improvement. I mean, they're a good team. They really are. But they're not some of the teams we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. They'll figure it out themselves.
I'm assuming that they won. I never looked to see what the score was.
They did.
All I know is UND beat San Diego, so that was cool.
Yeah, that was an upset.
That was fun to watch. Yep. Actually, I watched it through the little Google, because I don't have Midco, so I can't watch it because it's not a national broadcast or anything like that. So I was just watching the scores update on Google, but it was cool to see them win.
That's right.
Since we're not really known for winning football games, it's kind of cool when we do.
When they do.
It's kind of cool surprise. When they do. Although I will say their whole little football thing has really kind of turned around the last few years.
That's good.
It is good.
That's good.
It'll collapse. Don't worry.
You sound like a Vikings fan.
Yeah, you just can't. Well, that's like my buddy said the other day. He's like, Vikings are good this year? I'm like, there's plenty of year left for them to go -500. Don't worry, they still have what 15 weeks to lose half their matches. So don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry. Stuff can still happen. That's why they're called games, not winnings.
That's right. But until we get to that point. Go Queens. Let's see. What do we got coming up on the program today? I didn't even ask you, Dean. How was your weekend?
Good.
I don't want to skip over you.
No, that's all right. Went golfing and with some coworkers here. And
Did you win? Were you the winner chicken dinner?
I actually somehow did. I'm not sure how. But,
you must have been golfing with great people.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. That's exactly right.
Took advantage of that.
I'll tell Bonnie you called her a lousy golfer.
Take that, Bonnie.
And then did a street dance on Saturday. It was a good weekend. It really was.
Good stuff. Yeah, I was out there a bit. I made 3 batches of salsa on Saturday, and then me and the fam went out to the pumpkin patch on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if it's both me and Dean being sick or whatever's in the air, but maybe you can hear both of our voices sound about the same.
It's a little allergy season, and
we need the rain to
flush out whatever the heck is in the air. That's for sure.
Yeah. So our bronchios are. I was trying to think of something that would rhyme with that. They're in rough shape.
they're not.
I was trying to think of something.
That's
and it was
a
like,
tough word to rhyme with,
bronchio,
buddy.
Yeah, they've taken a beating. It's like we were at a Taylor Swift concert screaming for a couple hours.
You couldn't think of another concert?
No, I was first Taylor one I thought Swift. Of Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What are you going to do?
Well, it's Monday. Better? And what's that?
You got anything better?
I don't.
Yeah, it's a Monday. What are you going to do?
So, Bridget, we've got a special guest coming up on the show today. He's a familiar face around here.
He is. That would be Brian Feuder. Brian is with the Red River Retention Authority. We want to hear what's going on with all his damn projects. And I do mean dams, D-A-Ms. So they've been wrapping up a number of things as we get closer and closer to the fall. But before we get to Brian, there's a number of other things that are going on. First and foremost, there's been discussion about the Corporate Tax Transparency or the Corporate Transparency Act. And for a while there, it was back and forth. Do we have to follow the rules? Do we not? From what I've been reading, and a lot of this comes from American Farm Bureau, as well as National Cattlemen's Beef Association, a number of their articles have said, talk to your tax preparer and or accountant. For the most part, the reason that this all came about was in 21, Congress passed a law called the Corporate Transparency Act. And the goal is very simple, to prevent financial crimes by knowing the identity of corporation owners. In many states, it's pretty easy to form an LLC, especially like right here in North Dakota. So the law's intentions are really good, but it does mean that farmers and ranchers who have LLCs and so forth also need to comply. So if you are a company created or registered prior to January 1st of 2024, you have to do what's called a FinCEN report. That's the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. And they have to be submitted by January 1 of 2025. So make sure to have that discussion with your tax preparers, et cetera. How do I do this? When should I get it done? And to be honest, if you have a question, you can email me, ag@flagfamily.com. I have links to a number of organizations that have shared on their website, like facts, Q&As, so that you can get the right answers and figure out how that fits for you. So please do keep that in mind, that as of right now, you still need to comply with that Corporate Transparency Act.
Very good. Appreciate it. Hey, mm-hmm. If you want to be a part of the conversation today, feel free to reach out to us via email. That's weatherorag@flagfamily.com. You can also call us on the Red Wing Shoe line. That's 701-293-9000. Or our comment box is there on Facebook and YouTube Live. We had one email came in, said that Dean and I's voices, the reason why it's so raspy is from all the chem spraying out there today.
That is possible. Mm. They were going nuts this morning.
Well, there's a lot of trails up there in the sky, and now it just kind of seems like it's kind of casted over a little bit.
You know, we're gonna have to.
What's in the coffee pot there today?
We're gonna have to find somebody that knows enough about how chemtrail spraying, how that affects our ag community. We haven't really dove into that too deep yet. Bridget, right. Can you find us? We're going to have to dive deep and see if we can get a guest on here. You know a lot of people.
Sure. Okay. I do. You feel free to get a guest and let me know how it turns out.
Okay. You will too. I like that. We've got to make sure you're not on vacation that day, though. We want you here.
That's fine. Okay. Oh, you'll hear my eye rolls from wherever I am.
I want to hear more than eye rolls. Now I'm just tempted to actually get somebody on just to hear the conversation between the two of you.
Oh, no, it's a conversation between all of you.
I just want to find somebody now that'll talk about this.
701-293-9000 if you have anybody that has an expertise on this.
Yeah, my friend's a pilot, and he sent me pictures of the button in the cockpit.
Oh, goodness.
Geez. Anyway, also, yeah, go ahead.
September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and last week was Farm and Ranch Safety. And so just a reminder to folks, as we, again, have harvest going on, more and more folks are on the road and large equipment. They're also moving cattle. So as we bring herds home from pasture, you may see cattle in the ditch. Folks are with them, moving them along the fence lines to get them back home. And just be cautious. Nobody wants to drive into a herd and start honking the horn. That becomes a rodeo more than anything else. And you also want to just give the large equipment, the trucks and so forth, time to get up to speed. Don't pull out in front of them if they are going full speed. Just quite a bit of safety, because we remember that in the rural areas, many of our first responders are also farmers and business owners. And from the time they get the call from 911, they need to leave their business or whatever it is they're doing, go get an ambulance and go get you. And that could be at least 20 minutes until they get to you. So it's about being safe and about knowing that when you're not safe, dangerous things can happen. It can take some time to get to you. So please watch out for everybody out there.
It sure can. And we got another egg topic we'll get to throughout the course of our hour here. Americans want more cheese. Pass the cheese. I, for one, love cheese. Mm. Favorite cheese, Dean?
I love snacking on mozzarella or pepper jack, but you normally mozzarella.
I'm a big sucker for mozzarella well. I don't know. Well, I think one of my favorites might just be a very thin shredded cheddar. I like quesadillas and nachos, and I just bury them.
Pour it on
there. I just melt it in the microwave. Best kind of nachos there are, by the way. Bridget, favorite cheese?
All of them.
Ah, good answer. But if you were given a shelf of cheese and you were only able to grab one off the top of your mind, what would it be?
Actually, I really like brie. It's so versatile. You can use it in savory or sweets. I think it's got a great consistency for melting and so forth. Right. It just depends what you're making, right? If it's something super salty, you might not want like brie in your lasagna, but you can use brie in a lot of other places.
I had this buffalo cheese the other day. By other day, I mean like several months ago. It was really good. But I don't remember like what the specific kind of cheese was. It was just buffalo cheese is what it was like. I don't know. It was good. It was spicy, nice and hot.
Nice.
Yeah, really good. But hey, we got a guest coming up here in just a couple moments. Again, if you want to join in on our conversation today, we encourage you to do so and join the conversation. 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line. You can also reach us via email. That's weatherorag@flagfamily.com. We'll try and keep up on the comment boxes there on Facebook and YouTube Live. Bridget's got her phone ready, so you can message her as well. When we come back, we'll have Brian Feuder with the Red River Retention Authority talking all about dams. We'll be right back.
Ah, the barn door moo is back, and so are you. Thanks for being here with Weather and Ag in Focus. We're glad to have you. And what's not back, unfortunately, today was Cassie with the Great Harvest Bread Company, because when she joins us, she brings really awesome lunches. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Make sure to check out her cafe and pick up your favorite breakfast sandwich on the way to the field, or get lunch for your next meeting and or plot tour. She would be happy to help you out. Fresh soups and sandwiches, and they are oh so good. You know, there's a lot of things going on for us in our Here We Grow project. One of them is that tomorrow we're going to be going out to the field. We're going to be taking a look at moisture and shelling out some kernels off the cobs. And Dairyland Seed is going to join us, as they have all season long. They brought us a great variety. And so we're going to do a video with them to talk about what's going to be happening as we approach corn harvest. Maybe we even get a little chance to look at the combine and make sure our equipment is up and running. And today, with our guest of Red River Retention Authority, I feel like that's always a really good tie-in to one of our other sponsors, and that's Ellingson Drainage. Our video that came out on Friday featured Ellingson Drainage and the work that they do in keeping our corn from having terribly wet feet out in the field. And I learned a new skill. I now know how to turn on tile pumps. Who knew? I didn't know this was a skill I needed to have.
Good
now
for
I
you.
Have it. Here we are.
Was it very difficult to learn?
No, but you just got to know the sequence.
Aha.
And I'm not supposed to tell anybody else what it is.
Okay.
All right.
Well, as we were talking about our Here We Grow field, both with Dairyland, with Ellingson, and now Brian Feuder joins us in studio. He's with Red River Attention Authority. Retention, not attention. But maybe there's the same thing, Brian. But I'd be
attention.
Wrong.
There's things that need to be attended to. Yes, that's for sure. Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay, Brian. What's going on with all the dam projects? And I mean that in a positive way, not a swearing way.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're making steady progress. I was out on Friday and toured the three Elm River dam sites that we've been working on all summer. Elm River Dam 2, where we did our video shoot. They're actually preparing to seed that. That's just about completed. Amazing when you think about all the concrete work and the forms and the structure that was in place there. And now looking at it, it's a big square culvert running through the middle of an earthen dam, and it's all leveled off and smooth and ready to go back. And the other two are well into progress. We're seeing things happening out there on a daily basis. This weather has been absolutely phenomenal for getting construction work done. I told Dean, I said, I tried to till my garden yesterday. That's not going to happen. That's like tilling concrete. But this weather has been very advantageous for the contractors out there trying to get this construction work done. And so we're going to see, you know, we did expect that these projects would be completed this fall. And there's definitely no foreseen issues that it's not going to happen this fall. So we're very pleased with the progress that's been made on those.
You said that there were, three that were being done on the Elm River?
Yep.
So what's being done at these three locations? Are these new dams? Are they restorations? Are they just maintenance? What were the projects that were going on the Elm River this year?
All three of the projects being done on the Elm River this year, dam site number one, number two, and number three, are all rehabilitations. And so these dams were completely rehabilitated. The primary spillways were replaced. updated. Also, the dam safety standards were met, and then the emergency spillways were updated to be more of a solid, less erodible type of material, so that these dams will handle the water that they're supposed to. We don't have to worry about them seeping or breaching, things like that. And then if they do get into a situation where they have to use that emergency spillway, that erosion or erodible soil has been replaced with a more compacted, solid type of material there. So we don't have to worry about the problems with those dams.
Yeah, we don't want something happening like down there in Mankato earlier
this year. When we talk about the Rapidan dams, or the Rapidan Dam down in Mankato, that was a unique structure. That was over, I believe that structure was over 100 years old, and that was a hydroelectric dam. So that was designed.
Still standing.
Still standing. It's there.
Just and a little larger now. A
little bit bigger holes around the sides of it there.
Yeah, bigger hole on the side.
You know, that was mostly a concrete structure built for hydroelectric production. The dams that we're working with are more floodwater retention dams, and so they're built more of an earthen structure rather than a concrete structure. So, a terrible thing to have happen. But any time a dam, even if it is a retention dam, if we were to have that breach when we don't want it to, it would be could be quite hazardous. And so we have the three different hazard identifications for the dams, and the couple of them that we are working on right now are these high hazard dams. So if they were to breach, there is a possibility that it could cause a loss of life and at least a substantial damage to property.
Right. And you mentioned this was a rehabilitation project in all three of those. Within the area you're working with, and I'm imagining this is up and down the Red River and maybe, and then other, what do you call them, tributes or whatever that go into the Red River. How many of the dams and structures out there need to be rehabilitated?
Right now we're looking at primarily six.
Okay.
That are in that, they've met that age threshold. You know, design life is about 50 years on these. They've exceeded that. They're around 70 years old. And then there's that hazard identification to it. And so there's currently six other dams that we're working on throughout the basin. Most of those are up in the northern part of the Red River Valley on the North Dakota side. Those are being looked at. The projects have been started. The planning phase has been through. They're looking at the design, and then hopefully we can get some construction. The issue is that there's funding issues, and so one of the things that we have to do is be able to pay for these things. Mm-hmm. It's just not automatically money set aside to do that, and so I have the opportunity now, the 15th or 17th of 18th of November, myself and a group from the Midwest Council on Ag are going out to Washington, D.C. to spend a couple days on the Hill and try to see if we can advocate to get some funding to move these projects along a little bit quicker and a little less red tape involved with it.
Right.
And
Brian, is this all federal funding for this, or is any of this state funding as well?
There's a good portion of it that's federally funded, but we also have state funds, and then there's local funds. And so the North Dakota Department of Water Resources, they provide some funding. The Red River Joint Board, which is a joint board of all of the water resource districts across the North Dakota side of the basin, they contribute funds, and then the local watershed districts also contribute funds. But a majority of this money does come from federal funding.
How much of it, if approximately, comes from taxpayer money? Anything at all? Or?
Well, it's all taxpayer dollars. From the local one, generally we look at, I believe it's 65% is federally funded, and then the remainder of what's not federally funded, 65% of the joint board covers that along with state funds. So it's a smaller amount that's generally assessed to that drainage district that would be a direct taxpayer contributions.
Okay. And how many different dams or how many dams are there in our area?
I was thinking about that as I was sitting in the parking lot. I forgot to bring that with me. But I believe the numbers, and it's kind of surprising, I think that there is 58 what we call PL-566 dams in the state of North Dakota, and I'm not 100% sure on those numbers. But 40 or more of those dams are in the Red River Basin.
Really?
And so, we have the lion's share of them right here. And again, most of those are reaching, or they've exceeded their life expectancy, mm-hmm. or they're reaching their life expectancy, and rehabilitation needs to be done on those dams. As we move these things forward, we're trying to prioritize which ones will be done next, and then also at the same time, we have to be considering what are we going to do new. Well, there's always new opportunities for retention, and we're looking at some of the out-of-the-box types of ways of doing that rather than just looking at typical landowner construction, things like that. So mm-hmm. it's an interesting world. There's no dull moments in this, but we are always trying to find a way to do this.
Right. I was unaware that there were so many dams that are a part of the Red River system. You know, when these dams and the retention efforts that you're working on, when they're doing their job in peak season, what's the significance of that? How much water are they holding back?
Oh, they're holding back hundreds of thousands of acre feet of water. And the magic of the retention dams is to kind of time the water. We have what we call quick water, medium water, and slow water, mm-hmm. depending on how close to the main stem of the Red River it is. So we're trying to get out into that medium range where that medium water is coming in. And our goal is to reduce the peak tributaries and main stem Red River flood flow levels by 20%. In some of the areas, we're getting very close to that. In other areas, we've got a long ways to go. And, of course, the more work that we can do upstream, which makes kind of, you know, you get kind of goofed up thinking of the Red River of the North because it flows north. Upstream is down south. Downstream mm-hmm. is up north. More work that we can do upstream with retention, that benefits everybody downstream. So
right.
it's we've got a lot of projects that are up in the northern end of the valley, which provide a lot of benefit. But we are really trying to figure out what can we do more on the southern end of the valley to in that upstream water to try to hold that back and reduce that peak flow.
Wow, that's a pretty significant number, aiming for 20%, and it yes. seems like you're doing a great job at it. If anyone listening, you got any questions, feel free to reach out to us, 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe Line. Email weather or ag at flagfamily.com. I know Bridget's got a lot more questions. I got a bunch more questions, and I know Dean does too. So we'll get those answered here in just a moment. But it's bottom of the hour. We got to get caught up with local news. So when we come back, we'll rejoin this conversation with Brian Feuder from the Red River Retention Authority. And we encourage you to ask questions as well if you have any. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. And as Justin said, our plethora of questions for our guest today, and that is Brian Feuder with Red River Retention Authority. Okay, Brian, there's the list here for you. And one of them is a listener question that came in regards to the Garrison Diversion Project over off the Missouri River, which was originally intended probably in the early 80s to start funneling water from Garrison Dam area over here to the Red River, to Fargo specifically. And they were going to do that via the McCluskey Canal, et cetera. Now, the last I was told is that project's within 35, 40 miles of completion. Does that affect anything that you do, or do you hear anything about that through your sources of what you do with Red River Retention Authority?
Yes, we do hear about it. It doesn't directly impact anything that we're doing as far as Red River Retention Authority, because the Garrison Diversion is pretty well established channelization. Michigan Spillway, the McCluskey Dam, those types of things are all in place, and it's just a matter of getting them operational. So they really don't have a whole lot of, like I said, direct impact upon the Red River Retention Authority and the projects that we're working in. But we do keep an eye on that, and a couple of those projects are within our member districts, our watershed districts that we deal with, up in Walsh County, in those areas up there, and so we, Nelson County, and we do keep an eye on that, and we keep informed on what's going on, but we are really have no concerns or worries with what they're doing on those projects.
Excellent. So next question, also from a listener. So you mentioned going to Capitol Hill very soon to try to secure funding and commitments to that. Will there be some changes in your funding depending on the election and or farm bill? How much would you be directly or indirectly affected by some of those political swings?
I wish I had that crystal ball to look at and have the answer to that. I hope that you know, we see an increase in some of our funding because a lot of these projects were federally initiated, especially some of these PL 566 or small watershed plans that were created in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. There really was no game plan as far as what are we going to do when they reach that life expectancy or exceed that life expectancy. So it was just kind of a matter of kicking the rock down the road and keep it going. So, you know, we're hoping that we'll be able to bring some attention to these issues that we have, that we have to be proactive on doing the rehabilitation on these dams, pursuing repairs as they're needed, and we need to have funding to do that. We just can't, in this day and age with the construction costs and things like that, just can't seem to stomach all of that at a local level. We do need some assistance. And so, you know, as far as what the election results are going to bring, I'm not so sure. That's to be seen yet. I kind of joked that when I told somebody we were going to be out there the week of November 15th, they said, well, you'll be out there just in time to put the fires out. So I hope we don't see anything like that.
Brian, got an email from one of our listeners, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, but the question was, what's more urgent right now, the dam work that you've got going on right now or the Red River project itself that's currently going on?
The dam projects that we're working on are separate from the FM diversion project.
Right.
Yep. And so the FM diversion project is designed to protect the communities of the Fargo-Moorhead area. It's designed well. I believe it's going to be It's an engineering marvel when you look at it, and it's doing what it's intended to do. We have other communities, smaller communities, rural areas that we need to provide that type of protection to also, and so that's where we come into work as the retention authority to look at those areas where we can increase floodwater protection outside of the FM diversion area. We can. Because of the diversion project, we do count that storage towards our goal of that 20% reduction, because we have several hundred thousand acre feet of storage throughout the FM diversion channels that will be beneficial for, you know, the type of retention that we're looking at. So to say which one's more important, I think they're all important.
They're all important.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I like to say, too, that the person who's standing in water has probably a more urgent concern than the person on dry ground.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when you think about projects, and you were talking about, you know, the prioritization of what needs to be rehabbed first, but does there get a point, because this is an aging infrastructure, you had told me that a lot of our dams and so forth had been built somewhere between the 1940s and the 1960s in the state of North Dakota. Do you get to a point where you just say, this is no longer rehab, we just have to start all over? And how many projects are approaching that type of level?
Well, we do have, there is one dam up in the northern end of the valley. It's called the Bourbony Dam. And that dam was purposely breached here 2 years ago because it was expected to fail. We had enough rainfall going through there. So what that does is they purposely breached it so that it wouldn't fail. But as they breached that kind of a domino effect on the downstream dams. And so each one of those dams downstream now has to pick up the slack that missing dam held. And so we want to make sure that we don't get into more situations where we purposely have to breach something to maintain it. And so, you know, going back to your question, to completely rebuild a structure would be astronomically expensive. It would still be cheaper yet to go back in and rehabilitate them than it would be to try to completely reconstruct something at this point in time.
That's fair.
How about future plans when it comes to the Red River Retention Authority? What are some of your projects that you're planning on doing down the road or proposing to be done in the coming years?
Yeah, we've got quite a few projects. And again, both the Red River Joint Board on the North Dakota side and the Red River Water Management Board on the Minnesota side have identified projects, and they're currently working towards getting those projects completed. Some of the local ones that we are seeing, and you probably get a lot of exposure to. One of them is down in the Boise Sioux Watershed District in the Wheaton area, which is the Red Path and the Mistinka River realignment. That is nearing completion. We also have a project up in Newfoundland on the Minnesota side that is nearing completion also. And we're also looking at the Roseau Lake Bottom as another huge retention project that that was actually a lake or a wetland in the 1900s where the farmers actually went through and drained that so that they could farm it. And they've never really been able to successfully farm that since because it is, you know, Mother Nature wants back what was hers. And so they're looking at trying to put that back into a retention area. And some of the issues that we have is, you know, especially with the state of Minnesota, we did not get a bonding bill this last year to help fund these projects. And so we're in, you know, mid-construction or partway through some of the construction on these projects, and now we're kind of unsure where this funding is going to come from on the Minnesota side. So we're trying to figure out how do we reprioritize them, or do we make an all-out assault on St. Paul and say we need some money to finish these projects?
Mm-hmm. Brian, you've become more of a politician than you probably ever thought you would.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, more than I ever wanted to be.
You know, as you've been doing some of these projects, what kind of hidden gems have you found? Personally, I got to ride around with you one afternoon up on some of the Elm River sites after we did a video. And I even found that there were little lake areas that I didn't know existed. And they're probably 12 miles cross country from where I live. Things like that have you come across throughout all your projects this year?
You know, when I first started, the former executive director, who retired, Keith Weston, he took me around to just about every watershed district in both Minnesota and North Dakota within our membership area. And we got back onto some township roads and some gravel roads and some grass trails. And believe it or not, even in just in, you know, more than about 18, 20 miles from Fargo-Moorhead here, found some spectacularly beautiful areas back there that you didn't have any idea that there could be something like that in this flat part of North Dakota, which, you know, was really surprising. And there was one spot that he took me to, and I can't remember where it was, and I've been trying to find it ever since, but I'd like to go back there and get some good pictures of that. And the other really surprising thing, Bridget, was I understand your fear of heights as we were driving over the dam at Augustburg or Augusta Dam.
Okay, that was not necessarily fear of heights, but that was extremely narrow. As I was leaning out the window, I thought I was going to take a picture, but realized I was just going to fall. So, no, I'll stay right here inside the Jeep. Thank you very much. It's all good right here.
Got a new, all new respect for Jeeps now, don't you?
I did. So, Brian, thank you. We have really appreciated having you as part of our project this summer with Here We Grow.
Yes, it's been fun, and I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with your listeners, with you folks also, too, to just kind of educate people on what retention is and what it isn't, what we're trying to do and what we have done in the past and what we need to do in the future. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
And Brian, if there's someone listening and they want to find more information about this, where would you direct them to go to either get in contact with the Red River Retention Authority or just to learn more about what you guys do?
Yeah, our Red River, that's a mouthful, and I'm still trying to, you can't start off fast. It's redriverretentionauthority.net is our website. We did a little restructuring on our website this past summer. We've got some project maps, interactive maps there, so if there's something that's of interest to you, you can kind of zoom in on that. We've also worked a little bit with the International Water Institute with some of their mapping. And there's a lot of really neat information that's out there. Kind of fun to play around with a little bit and see if you can zoom into your home and see what kind of issues are we're looking at around you. So,
very cool. All right. Well, we really appreciate it, Brian. Bridget, did you want to add something else in there?
Get Brian's yield guess for our cornfield. We want to know what he thinks we're going to raise. Yeah. So
bushels
I can
per
mark
acre,
him
what
down.
Thinking?
Yeah, bushels per acre. I drove by there last Tuesday, I believe it was. And
what a beauty it is, right?
Yes, astounding. I'm going to go 126 bushel an acre.
Okay, got it. Brian's down for 126.
Justin still wanna, got the high.
You
want
to add another 100 to that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, no. Do you want to subtract 100 from yours?
Yeah. No, no, I don't. Brian, we appreciate you coming on, being a part of this with us. It's been fun.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
We'll be back in just a couple moments. We've got another check on your forecast and as well another check on your ag topics in just a moment. And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 150-40 right now. Quick check on your currents. Well, it's currently 70 degrees with a south wind at 21 miles per hour sustained, but gusting to 28 miles per hour. We'll have a full rundown on your forecast coming up here. Looks nice, in my opinion. But we got a few things to get to before we get to the weather. And one of those is going to be one of our ag topics. And this just boils down to that, well, America wants more cheese. Bridget, can you pass over some more cheese or tell South Dakota to start making more milk so Wisconsin can make more cheese? Actually, that's not true because most of the cheese is actually made in South Dakota and then sent to Wisconsin to be resold. Take that, Scotty.
That's right. There is really that great big processing plant at Milbank, Valley Queen. And do you remember, wasn't it like 600-pound blocks of cheese that they can create down there?
Big old
And
blocks.
We just wanted one. One for you and me. Mm-hmm. We'd be okay with that.
We'll even split Dean in there. We'll throw him a wheel. Carve it out ourselves.
Well, all right.
America's per capita cheese consumption has doubled since records started being kept in 1975. How many pounds of cheese per year do you think each one of us consumes?
Oh, guesses, well, guys? I do quick math. I think I go through about 12 cups a month. So would that be 144 cups of cheese a year? How many?
Well, your math is good.
You do.
Cups to gallons.
Dean?
I'm going to say per year, per person on average.
I'm going 9 gallons.
Mm-hmm. She said pounds.
Okay, you're going in gallons. How about pounds?
Pounds. 50?
Right.
It's probably higher than
50?
That.
What is that? It'd be 8. Oh, it's water. How much does cheese weigh per pound? Per gallon.
Wow. Just throw a number out.
I don't know. A lot.
A lot.
Let's go.
Higher or lower than 50.
Let's go with 20 pounds.
Okay. I'm going 50.
42.
Wow.
42. More than butter, ice cream, and yogurt combined. Plus, facilities for making cheese account for more than half of the $8 billion in U.S. dairy product projects that are slated to go online between now and 2026. Cheese is a big deal.
It is.
I mean, I know you two are kind of a big cheese, but besides just that, you have companies. Lactosil is making a big investment. They're adding a feta capacity. Who hears more about feta capacity? I've never heard that term before, but they're increasing it. Sargento, they have been moving on to increasingly update two Wisconsin plants. Really what you're seeing is there was this big nutritional war at the end of the, or excuse me, in the early 90s about everything had to be low fat and cheese got knocked off the counter, so to speak. But then we started making a comeback, especially with low carb diets such as Atkins and South Beach really brought cheese around. And then folks during the pandemic started to cook at home and holy cheese, Batman, everybody wanted some and more. I mean, How many cheeses do you put in your lasagna? I'm hearing a lot.
Apparently, people put a lot of different types of cheeses in their lasagna. I just throw two in there, ricotta and mozzarella.
Yeah. I have just folks who are saying up to four different.
That's just it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen some people throw in like five different cheeses or six. Cheddar, and Parmesan, and provolone, ricotta.
Cheese is estimated, the cheese snacks are estimated to be worth $75 billion in business a year alone, worldwide.
That's fair. I got a big bag of cheese sticks in my fridge right now.
Mine don't last long.
Nope. Now, Cabot Creamery tells us that they make those little squares of cheese that are designed to fit onto your cracker. And they thought, well, we'll get started. It won't be any big deal. They started with six varieties. They now added Gouda. They're up to a dozen varieties of cheese that are cut up and ready to use in their packaging.
Is that
they're
the
actually
brand,
considered a processed food?
Is that the brand that sells the cheese that's all wrapped in little aluminum foil and little like wedges that you'd cut out of like a pie? You know what? I'm just going to do a graphic because you
yep,
can see me.
I know what you're talking about.
Like this, and then it's cut up into 8 or 10 different little triangles. It's got a pink or a red cow on the front.
That's Laughing Cow, if
Laughing
I'm not mistaken.
Cow. Yes, and that's what it is.
I do not. I don't know if Cabot makes Laughing Cow brand name cheese.
Okay,
I'm sure we can find that out.
Here's another
one. Feel free to check it out, okay?
You know, they're little mini wheels, and they're sold, and they're all individually wrapped in a wax thing, and you cut them in half. They kind of open like Pac-Man.
Yes, they do.
Which one is that?
That's not Cabot.
Baby
it's
Bell?
Not. Yes, you Baby Bell. Thank you.
Way to go, Addison. Appreciate it. Those are
Addison
really
knows his
good.
Cheese.
Yes, he does. All right.
Well, if for some reason cheese demand doesn't hold up, there are other dairy products that have really been growing in popularity as well, like yogurt cream and whey protein powder, because we don't drink as much milk, but we consume it in a tremendous amount of other ways.
Indeed. Indeed we do. Well,
happy dairy products.
I appreciate that one. Now I want to go get me a bunch of cheese.
It's a good snack.
How about
it's such a good snack. I mean, just
is it a good is it a good weather day for ice cream? Because if the weather's good, that would be my go-to. Maybe even besides the cheese, we go get milk or ice cream.
I mean, ice cream's good. I think I would pick. I don't even know what I would pick.
Decisions.
Anyway, here's your forecast.
Okay.
Well, the forecast looks creamy and dreamy. I don't know. We're trying to get cheese involved in there.
That's about my bronchial. What rhymes with bronch? Bronch?
We've got some clouds out to the west, some light showers and sprinkles from Carrington up through Devil's Lake Basin, where temperatures are a little cooler there in the 60s. Most everybody else in the low 70s. We'll warm up a degree or two from where we're at right now and see a few light sprinkles or showers come in towards evening. And then tonight, all that moves eastward will drop down not as chilly to a low near 50. And tomorrow, a little more sunshine and less wind with highs in the low 70s, but we'll warm up into the mid 80s with windy conditions by Thursday and stay in the 80s as we head into Friday. So a warming week indeed. It's not really going to feel like the last weekend or last week of September.
Last week.
Unbelievable. Nice, not record warmth. Record highs this week are right around the 90 to 92 degree mark, so little below that, but still very, very
you guys,
warm.
You'd said we might have frost this week, and so far, nothing. And I just want to say I'm still on team no frost till November 1st.
When did we say that?
I asked you about it like in August, and this was potentially
first,
a week
we
of
said
frost.
About no, October 7th, didn't we? Didn't we?
First of all, it was potentially sometime in September because I had a little bit of a coronary, and now it's looking better.
Well, what was that, Bridget? What did you say?
Wadena hit 30. Wadena hit 37 this morning.
Ah, 37.
So.
They did. There's the chances there. Yeah,
yep. Not for the next week though.
Keep it warm.
We'll see what happens after that day 8 in your forecast. We'll run down more details coming up throughout the week. Jay Thomas Show's coming up next. Bye.